Your name. I've forgotten your name. I've seen you, but I don't know your name.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
We have business to discuss.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back as we open up hour number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Guest galore coming to you before the close of business of The Usual Suspects. Taryn Hilo is going to join us. We're going to catch up with her a little bit. You might know her as Astros Girl. She also did some work on some videos online for the Rockets at one point. Huge Houston sports fan. Also great entrepreneur. She has a couple of businesses, including a bikini line. And we've kicked this around, and she's good to go with it. So we might even prepare you guys, if you're out there around Valentine's Day and you're trying to think of, hey, you know, would my wife, significant other, girlfriend, would she dig this? Is this a good move? Like, don't shop at Walmart for gifts and expect to get benefits. But
or just love questions in general. Maybe you want to approach a chick and not sure how.
Should I take her to dinner? Yeah. How do I ask her out? Should I take her to dinner? What place versus this? She'll help us do a little Valentine's Day advice for you people out there.
Yeah.
So that should be some fun as well. Also going to have a Houstonian nutritionist join us in the third hour. So we've got lots lined up. And we were talking some Rockets as we closed out the first hour of the show.
One thing I did want to say that I noticed last night, which I don't obviously watch a lot of Timberwolves basketball outside of when they play the Rockets, but I was impressed a little bit with Ryan Saunders and how he's the job he did. You felt like they had a game plan. You felt like, I mean, this wasn't a team that was just out there going through the motions because they're so far back in the Western Conference. You felt like they were still had some energy in playing for him. Maybe I misread it, but I thought he did a good job.
I think he has the, you know, you saw it when he got his first win. I think he's got the respect of these young kids that maybe Tibbs, because he came in with the dictatorship, kind of almost like your dad mentality, where the younger guys want to just fight him for the sake of spiting him because he can be such an a-hole to the players. Whereas, you know, Ryan Saunders kind of has a little bit of a more of a modern mentality with the players. They seem to like him. What was crazy was when they did the sideline shot and Flip used to have a little bit of a tick with kind
really?
Of yeah and a little bit and he, Ryan has a different version of it, but very, very cool that he's taken over for his dad. Flip Saunders used to be Kevin McHale's roommate at the University of Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, so McHale hired him in with the Timberwolves, but a lot of people pulling for Ryan Saunders there in Minnesota, but a good win for the Timberwolves because they had been kind of struggling.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I say they looked impressive. Now obviously I don't watch the off-night games that they're not in town or playing the Rockets necessarily because they're not a team high on my radar, but they look like they came in prepared and ready to go. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. You know, and from a Rockets perspective, why do you go out and get Iman Shumpert if he's just going to be like a triple afterthought? This is another reason why I think you've got to open the offense back up once Capella comes back, because you went out and got him, and now he looks like a square peg in a round hole, and it just doesn't look like he's getting an opportunity, and they're not putting him in the right spots. Kind of like when Gordon had to deal with Carmelo, and then he came back and was trying to find his niche. Hopefully over the break, they just kind of, the coaching staff can get together at some point and go, look, it's time for us to get back to the old offense, kind of free-flowing, open it up. Chris has got to have his hands on the ball a little bit more. And the other thing that you kind of alluded to, Barry, when we were talking about the game itself, they got to get back to playing defense because they haven't stopped anybody.
Yeah.
You can give James Harden so much credit on the whole low post defense thing, but it's easier to look like you're putting an effort on defense when you're in the paint than it is on the perimeter, because it looks like you're chasing people when you get, you know, beat.
I think
the
other thing that the kind of little secret out there on the scouting reports against the Rockets is just run one or two rub screens and almost everybody on the Rockets is just going to quit
the chase.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really going to be an Achilles heel for them against the Warriors then. I mean, it really is.
And I'm with you on Shumpert. I think, though, I kind of expected a little bit of a longer transitional period for Shumpert. And I think they should start worrying in about a couple of weeks, because, honestly, I didn't expect him to really thrive that soon. honestly.
I will tell you this. His numbers, even in Sacramento, what really was stood out to me was when he got a wide open, clear shot, he knocked it down. But what I saw him since he's joined the Rockets do is pull those Gerald Green shots. Like the minute you get your hand on the ball, you're off balance or whatever. Just crank it up right away. And that's not who he is.
Well, you feel like they're like, well, I better shoot it now because I'm not going to get another opportunity to shoot it for a while. So I'm just going to jack this up. I got to get my shots in. And Bullard at one point during the broadcast talked about how he loves how D'Antoni will draw up a play for guys like Eric Gordon out of the break. It's because that's literally the only chance that D'Antoni has to be able to control in any way what's going to happen and who's going to get the ball. Because otherwise, it feels like everybody just defaults to James Harden. And D'Antoni's not stupid. I mean, he's the best scorer in the NBA, best scorer on the planet. So you're going to let the guy do what he does. But at least he can get other guys involved at certain points. Just not a lot.
Yeah, I just think the biggest thing is you're right. With all those things being said, it's just what's your end goal? You know, is your end goal to win games as a team? Or to keep doing what you're doing to kind of appease your superstar, get him his, and know that you don't want to offend him. At some point, and you're right, the streak is really dictating a lot of what they're doing right now. But I almost think that, look, you're not going to catch Wilt's streak for the number one spot anyway. But the sooner this streak ends, the quicker they can get back to playing the ball they need to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, you always bring that up, and I think it's a good point. I always wish I could be behind closed doors with Mike D'Antoni in the front office, because in my mind, the vibe that I always get out of Coach Mike D'Antoni is he's playing to win. He's playing to win the game. Now, the front office, Joel, obviously you have a lot more experience than the both of us with them in that front office. I don't know what they're saying. If there's more of an emphasis on James Harden continuing that streak, or do they want to win? I think it's just a difficult approach, and I'm not saying what you're saying is not true. I just think it's a difficult approach if you're the front office to go up to Mike D'Antoni and say, hey, look, we kind of need this streak.
But let me be clear. I'm not saying the front office is dictating anything, and I'm not saying D'Antoni doesn't want to win. Okay. What I am saying is you've had to defer, because without James Harden doing what he's done over the first half of the season, you're nowhere near where you are.
Where's the Rockets? Absolutely.
Right? So, but I think at some point you also don't want to ruffle his feathers because he has done so much for you, but it might be Chris Paul that could do that and come to him and go, okay, James, hey, man, let's – the last 25 games, let's kick this thing back to where we were in terms of offense.
So it's fair to say that James Harden is kind of the root of all this. They can tell that he wants this streak to continue, and that he's probably the reason why a lot of people are afraid to approach him.
That's why I said once this streak is over, their offense will get back to normal.
It's that now, star power.
How much will it get back to normal with Capella comes back? That'll probably have something to do with, like Joel was saying. But I think a big problem now is the streak. You've got to.
Okay.
The best thing that could happen, I think, for this team and this offense at this point is for that streak to be over with.
I could agree with you on that. It's strange to me. I just have, and I might be a homer in this, I have more of a belief in D'Antoni, and I would think that if he really believed that streak is supposed to, like, it would if the streak ending would benefit the team, that he should do it or would do it.
It's no disrespect to D'Antoni, but you also don't want to piss off the one guy that's been the one consistent you've had the whole year.
Yeah, that's true.
Catch 22.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Avery wants to get in here on the Rockets. Let's get Avery in. What's up, Avery?
Good afternoon, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
That last comment you guys made, I'm kind of at odds. I'm not. So you're basically saying that you want James Harden to stop scoring? Because if you look at the rest of his teammates, you know, if it's not for James Harden putting the ball in the hole, I don't know what other scoring is going to come from. Because me personally, Chris Paul, to me, he sucks. He got paid. He got a lot of money. He got the Rockets right where he wanted them. His basketball is gone. I hope he proved me wrong, but has anybody noticed how him and James Harden play on the floor? They can't. They don't. And I hear Kobe Bryant about the way James Harden's style of basketball is, but Kobe Bryant was a ball hawk himself. He didn't average 10 assists a game, so I don't get what he's saying. But when James Harden is rolling and he's dishing out assists, it's not his fault his teammates not making a shot when they do get an opportunity to. But it's rough and it's hard to even watch the Rockets. I don't know what Coach Fizdelic doing. I need him to get some techs or somebody needs to do something different, because their defense is sucky, and Chris Paul is just, I don't know who he is anymore, because he's not doing anything.
All right, appreciate the call, Avery. Look, I mean, Chris Paul is the second, two games ago, 11 assists, no turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
When Chris Paul is in the flow of the game, he's still one of the better point guards in this league.
I mean, he would be, if he qualified, he'd be fifth in assists in the NBA right now. Tied for fifth.
You'll take
if he qualified. And he doesn't because of the games, but he's putting up eight a game.
And we also know that's legit. The critique is all going to start with his money. Okay, but let's take that out of the equation and just, that doesn't translate to Chris Paul sucking. It's a matter of those guys finding a common balance now. Now, when you get everybody healthy, to be able to figure it out where in the fourth quarter when they needed a bucket, everybody knew it was coming to James. You know, and you got to give the keep the defense on their toes a little bit to wonder. Chris has got to get a couple possessions with him. James might end up shooting it. He still may end up getting the shot, but it's because Chris has the ball in his hands. You have to respect that because he can still score.
I don't know why the big thing is that he's fallen off. I mean, for what he's done as a point guard, he's averaging almost 16 a game, 8 assists. He's shooting 35% from 3-point range. What more can a guy do? I mean, it's not superstar level, but you already have a superstar. You're not going to be able to put up, you're not going to have two guys that are scoring 40 a night.
Right. And look, I wouldn't say he sucks. There's no way. I'm never going to say that. I'm just going to say I would like to see him score more, but that would be my only knock. But his forte is being a passer. That's why he's one of the all-time
point guard
best.
But you got to get the ball. So when you're in the flow of the game, you see it from the time they get a rebound. It used to be just who's ever closest to me as a big man. Get it to them, whether it be Paul or Harden or anybody else for that matter, and push. Now everybody's concerted effort is get the ball in James's hands.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's another problem because a lot of people look at Chris Paul and James Harden from an assist standpoint and think that's enough. Really, the Rockets are actually one of the worst teams in terms of team assists. They're ranked as like one of the worst teams. Mm-hmm. The Golden State Warriors are one of the best teams. So it's not necessarily when James Harden sets up his teammate and that person doesn't convert. That teammate needs to set up Harden and some of the other teammates. You need to get more assists all around. You need more creativity all around. And I think that's what's going to help. And because they can't get that, that's why you have James Harden carrying most of the load and forced to score. So I don't think any of us were saying James Harden should stop scoring.
Right.
It should be addressed at some point once the streak is stopped. What is the best approach? Should we put this much of a load on James Harden? How could we involve more players? How can we inflate their numbers? How could we get them to score more and help Harden out? That's what it's about.
And don't forget, I mean, Chris Paul still contributes on the defensive side of the ball. Before he got hurt, he was like second or third in the league in steals. Yeah. And not only that, but he's, as much as Harden is the leader and the star on this team, Chris Paul, you get the vibe, he's still the floor general. He still runs things.
He's like the coach.
He's the coach on the floor. And as far as statistically, he was third on the team in PER, which is just a rating of an overall performance of the player while they're on the court, until Kenneth Faried showed up. Now Kenneth Faried, his PER is higher than Chris Paul's, but he just got back too. But he is still contributing and having a meaningful contributions to this team, but everybody has to play second fiddle to James Harden.
Yeah, and James will still score because if they run the offense the way they ran it a year ago, he's going to have plenty. He might not get 30 a night, but he'll get close and he'll get his points, and so will everybody else, so they'll be happy, more engaged, might play more defense.
But I ask you this, what's the difference if Chris Paul is scoring 16 and James Harden is scoring 36, what's the difference if James Harden is scoring 30 a night and Chris Paul is scoring 22? It's still the same amount of points on the scoreboard at the end of the night. Just because you shift 6 points from James Harden to Chris Paul, the end result is the same. Maybe the offensive flow, that could be a case.
And you still need more than those two guys anyway. You got to have Capella, you got to have Green or Gordon on any given night. You got to get other guys involved. That's what it's going to do, because we keep saying it's like ISO ball, and come playoff time, and I was going to ask Avery how far he thought they'd go, and he should call back at the end of the year if he thinks this team's going to go far, because defensing a team in a 7-game series where one guy handles the ball for 19 seconds at the top of the key is the easiest. You don't need Jeff Bezdelic to defense that. Any coach in the league can defense that. So we'll continue to roll on. We'll take a quick break. If you want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. In the building. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling along. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday. Happy Valentine's Day to one and all. With that, we have brought Valentine's gifts to you. Taryn Hilo is going to join us in our next segment.
Yeah, about 10 minutes. She just posted on her Instagram. She's on the way.
Well, there you go.
She's wearing a turtleneck. Well, that defeated the purpose. Just kidding.
Dang.
I'm joking. She's not wearing a turtleneck.
And so you wonder.
All is well. What? And I wonder what?
Why she didn't give you the shout out on the gram.
Really? Because that happened before that statement. So you tell me why.
No, it was yesterday.
I didn't say anything about her yesterday.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
No.
You absolutely
did. That
was
mainly Joel going, oh, boy.
I'm talking about when she just used my Twitter handle.
I don't want to. I'm confused.
Okay, never mind.
All right.
Devin wanted to get in here before we get any further, but Taryn's going to join us at 2:30, and we're going to probably do Valentine's Day advice.
Get some advice from a chick that knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, that can help you out on the 14th. So see if we can help you out there as well. Devin, you want to get in here on the Rockets. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, y'all? First of all, I love the show. I listen to you guys every day in the car. I'm always in the truck, so
Thank you, man.
Always listening to you guys. So
we appreciate
love
it.
Two things. One, with the James Harden thing, and I forgot who mentioned the streak. The streak is ending. The streak would probably be the best thing for the Rockets. It would. Kobe is completely right when it comes to James Harden and scoring, because scoring is with basketball, it's a contagious thing. So, say the extra pass becomes contagious for James Harden, not that first pass, but the extra pass. So that becomes contagious to your entire team. It makes your offense flow. When James Harden is scoring this much, it's bad for your team because your team isn't scoring. So it's a contagious thing. If he does that extra pass, it becomes contagious to the team. Same thing on the other side. When James is locked in on a defensive end, we play better as a team. When he's not, you can tell. When he lets people go by him and do different stuff like that, it filters through the team. So I think Kobe is completely right, and I do think that the ending the streak is the best thing for Brock.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, Devin. Thank you.
For sure.
A little bit different take, but mostly what we said. So.
That's basically what y'all said. Basically agreed with exactly
smart
what you guys
man.
Said.
That's why he listens every day.
Of course.
No, I mean, look. Just hopefully they make a push in the second half. I think you got to be realistic about what their end goal is for the playoffs. They're not going to get the one seed like they had a year
what?
Ago. You know,
top four?
Top four should be their goal. I think their best bet is four with an outside chance at three, and I don't think one and two is feasible.
I don't think one or two is feasible. I'm with you on that. I don't think three is feasible at all.
Yeah.
I think four would be the goal.
Yep.
Or, you know, one is the goal, four is fine. What is the absolute worst? What is acceptable?
Six.
Anything with a home floor in the first round is acceptable based on the awful start, the injuries, and everything they've had to endure with Melo and otherwise.
Anything below six and it's bad.
But I think at five you might get screwed out of. You might be one and done.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, you're still playing the same team.
Tell me they changed the offense. I might change my opinion.
Okay, but you're still be playing the Blazers. Just whether you play one more there or one more here.
They have, and again, on any given night, and you know, they got enough scoring to score with you, and they've got two guys that can do it on a consistent basis. They just added Kanter. If you missed it, Enes Kanter is going to sign with the Blazers.
Dang it. I tell you, though, there's if this Rockets team is clicking, if this Rockets team is at 100% playing as well as we think they can play with the depth that they've added, not like they played in the beginning, but with if everybody Shumpert and Fareed and Austin Rivers play up to their caliber that they're capable of playing, and the rest of the team does as well, I think that the Rockets can win a series against everybody in the West except the Warriors. I honestly think that there's no one else, even the Thunder, there's no one else that I think that is just overwhelmingly no chance that you would say, oh, they have no chance of beating this team outside of the Warriors.
Don't think they beat the Thunder without home court. I think that I agree with you because I'm not sold on the experience level, the lack of experience of the Nuggets, although the altitude would play a part in a seven-game series. But other than that, what I will say to what you said is, I would say if you said that to me a year ago and said exactly what you just said, I go, you're absolutely right, and I don't have a problem.
Hesitate
this
now,
year,
huh?
The if is because you've had so many different variables in and out. Because I was going to say they really missed Austin Rivers last night.
Uh-huh.
But when you get Rivers back, it's just another cog that has to get used to playing with Fareed and getting Shumpert involved, and what role is Gordon going to play. It's just a huge if. But
a lot of ifs on this team.
Yeah, that's why I think home court is so important.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, we'll continue to roll. We were about the halfway point of the show. Taryn Hilo is going to join us next. She should be here or close to it. And we'll do a couple segments with her to try and get some Valentine's advice and other things as we catch up on the usual suspects. Hang in there. ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we have warned you guys and gave you the heads up, we were having special guests today, and one of them is here with us right now. Taryn Hilo joins us. I've known her for quite a while. Got her over at to the Rockets for a while to do some sportsy stuff. But she is a native Houstonian?
Native.
Native Houstonian. Huge Houston sports fan. And someone that we thought would be very helpful for you guys out there as you go through the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge and just life in general. Trying to be an entrepreneur, taking care of yourself, doing a lot of things on the up and up. So welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, so somebody already texted and said our live stream is going to break all kinds of records. So we already have 42 and you weren't even here yet. This is the anticipation that you've built up.
Nice. Either that or Barry and I are extremely sexy and we just don't tell people.
Well, that's what it is.
You know.
That's what it is.
Nobody wants us to spend Valentine's Day alone. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
That's probably a good point.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, even though, you know, you totally disregarded the fact that I was on the show and Nick was on the show. And
I don't know if you listened coming
Joel
in.
Joel told you to do that, didn't he?
Joel invited me, so he gets the shout-out.
Oh, is that what it is?
But clear now. But I didn't tell you to leave them out. Right?
True. He didn't.
Okay. You don't have to cover for him. You're here now. You don't have to cover for him anymore. It's too late. Cat's out of the bag. But no, we appreciate you for being here. Now, you originally were known as Astros Girl, right?
Actually?
No. I was going to say, not originally.
Not originally.
But... Okay.
Originally, I was doing the Rockets.
Yeah. Okay.
And Joel kind of got me that job.
Yeah.
And then I had my breakout as Astros Girl.
So what happened? What were you doing with the Rockets?
I was doing Rockets Rewind. So we were recapping all the Rockets games. And this was the 16-17 season.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had been doing a lot of videos over there and kind of was being spread too thin. And we had crossed paths. And I was like, guys, first of all, we need a female involved. And I said, it's obvious to say you can just get a female to be involved, but someone that knows sports. And I knew that you knew sports and I knew your business as well with the team, and I kind of mentioned it on the air, but you created your own business where you did a bikini line that you made the bikinis, but they were all with NBA, NFL team affiliations.
Yep.
So I was like, here's someone that when you look at what she puts on social media, she understands sports. She knows the games, the teams. She'd be great. And so she came in for an interview and they had her doing some things.
Nailed it.
It doesn't hurt that you know sports and you're good looking, right? I mean, obviously that's... Because, Joel, you could have got, like, you know, just any old homely
looking...
Well,
Ramona Shelburne was on my list, too, exactly. But I never got to her once I got to Taryn. I was like, you know what? It'll work.
Don't worry. It's why I'm here, too. I'm the good-looking one. So they... Because I'm, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm a sex pot. So they were like, well, we need somebody hot like Barry on the show. So, you know, it's... What?
You'll understand that Nick and I just kind of, for the betterment of the show, we just let those things go.
Yeah. So Astro's Girl was a cool thing, though. That took off?
It was cool.
Now, that kind of went viral, right?
It did. It was unexpected, but in hindsight, I'm not surprised that it went viral.
Okay. So you're just going to a Stros game?
I'm just going. My brother surprises my family with tickets. He was working at Landry's corporate office at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he won a Halloween costume contest.
Mm-hmm.
So he got Tillman seats.
Oh, wow. Diamond, right there behind the dish.
Didn't think to tell us that we were going to have amazing seats. I'm actually thinking, oh my gosh, like we're probably going to have bad seats, whatever. But I had been working on this. Actually, I was going to make an Astros bikini. So I'm like halfway done with this top, put it together last minute. I'm not even done sewing it yet. I'm like, all right, I'm going to wear this with some shorts and some Converse shoes to the game. And we get there, and like we go in through a special entrance that I'm not used to going into. And I'm like, where are we sitting? And my dad was like, oh, we got the good seats. We got the good seats. And we're sitting in Tillman Fertitta's seats right behind home plate. It was
Did you know you were like, yep, Cameron's going to be here.
Was your phone blowing up?
I'm glad I wore this.
I wasn't getting good service in there, of course.
Yeah, you can't. It's terrible. I don't know why.
I wasn't getting good service. And like towards the end of the game, actually, I got someone tweeted at me. And they were like, hey, I just saw you. You're at the Blue Jays game. It was someone in Canada. One of my followers from Canada was like, hey, you're famous in Canada now. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh man, we've been on TV the whole time.
So what was the big breakthrough after that? Because who was first? Barstool? Because like all of a sudden then you were getting shout outs and people were posting things on Barstool and otherwise.
My trusty friends over at Busted Coverage, I think, were probably the first to get it. And they had interviewed me a couple times for the bikinis. Mm-hmm. And then I think Barstool did. I mean, everyone was doing stories. And then I woke up. This is actually was the crazy part. I woke up the next morning and Insider Edition was calling my work. And I was like, and my dad, I worked for my parents, and they were like, hey, Insider Edition is calling. What's going on? What did you do?
You're like, I don't know.
I'm like, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh man, I broke the internet.
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fun.
And we talk about the fact, you know, and Barry's a comedian, so you learn what it is like. I say entrepreneur, but you have to market yourself, and you have to do so many things. And you built this business. Your mom was your role model in a lot of ways, and you built this business. You do other things as well. But on top of that, because it's bikinis and because you're building it from scratch, you're doing the modeling, you're doing the social media, you're doing all these things, and it really kind of, in a short period of time, you have to keep everything in line and have a schedule and have a regimen, don't you?
You do. You have to have a routine. You have to have a schedule, and you have to really stick to it. And it's hard for anybody, but it was really it was hard being young. And sure, like, you got to balance having a life and also managing, like, okay, who are your friends? Who are people that just want to kind of be around because you got this new, like, kind of you're famous in Houston kind of thing?
Sure.
So it's a lot to balance. And, for me, luckily I'm not like we were just talking this about the Roxy and stuff. I've never really been like a nightlife person, so that never really got in the way, but, you really have to stay focused and just, you know, like, okay, what am I doing with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's like, it just happens and then, you know, nothing ever happens again. You never hear about a person again, but luckily I was able to use it to help build brand awareness and get my followers up so that I could get, you know, people buying my bikinis and get awareness about my legal business. So it worked for me.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So you mentioned the legal business. Mm-hmm. What do you tell the folks a little bit about that as well?
Okay.
So bikinis is pretty obvious what that is. It's bikinis.
Yeah. So
something pretty smart.
A couple years ago, I was telling you guys, I work for my parents. A couple years ago, I got this idea working for them to just kind of help them organize their workflows. They work with attorneys, case management, kind of stuff, sending out court reporters, record retrieval, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, hey, we should, you know, get you guys organized, get all your stuff, you know, digital. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And they were using some kind of software that was costing them like $800 a month. And I was like, I can build you guys something because I'm like self-taught computer science.
Okay.
So I built them something, and then a couple of their clients saw it, and they were like, hey, can you build that for us? And I was like, I could build this for everybody. Ah. And so I hired some help, and we just launched our first product through the company, which is like a freelance marketplace to hire people, hire vendors, attorneys and other legal professionals can hire vendors nationwide.
That's great. So you're an IT nerd.
Kind of, yeah.
That's awesome.
You guys have that in common.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Well,
it's hard being sexy and smart, isn't it?
I feel you, girl. Every day.
Now you're just feeding him.
You know what bothers me is when girls treat me like I'm a piece of meat. I just can't. Like, I'm like, you know, there's stuff up here, too.
Now his eyes up here, guys. Eyes up here.
Yeah. They're always looking down. It's, yeah. I'm glad at least someone can relate.
Yeah. You got a friend in me.
Thank you so much.
So you
I appreciate
two businesses
that.
Going. Right.
Yes.
And so obviously as you look at where you're going with all of this, because you've had all the success, like you said, you're almost a local celebrity here and everybody knows you on the internet. But as you go forward and you set goals for yourself, where do you see yourself going You're going to keep the two businesses? Are there other things on your – do you have aspirations to do other things? Because obviously people give you a lot of attention for other things too, so you could do modeling or other things.
Yeah, you know, I think that I definitely am going to keep the two businesses. And ultimately, I would like to like short term, I want to start some kind of a podcast where I can get people on, interview people that motivate me, whether it's entrepreneurs, health enthusiasts, just like the brightest – smartest people that I can get on there to talk about the stuff that we're talking about right now, which is managing your life.
Well, you had Barry until you said smartest and all that, but Barry just started his podcast too. But
did you?
Yeah. So I have, and actually it's funny because I made, so my podcast is about people that have gone viral.
Okay.
And I want to get kind of into not necessarily the video or whatever it was. I want to talk about life before going viral, what happens while you're going viral, and then life after. And believe it or not, you were a person on the list. So when I sat down, I tried to remember every single person I've ever seen or heard of that has gone viral. Like we've had Ken Bone and all these different, and you were one of the people that I remember. Then also the guy that moved out of the way of the foul ball. Remember him? And his girlfriend got hit by the foul ball at the Astros game.
Yeah.
But so yeah, so the podcast that we have is about folks like yourself that have got. In fact, P. Randles was like, "Does she qualify?" So we'll have to get you to do the podcast one day. You do it?
I'll definitely do it.
And then I'll do your beefcake podcast.
There you go. Okay, so we're going to continue to roll on. We've gotten the business stuff out of the way. Let's have some fun as well. Awesome. And we also want to get your thoughts on in terms of how you stay in shape and maybe give some tips to the listeners as well. But we want to have some fun for Valentine's Day, so we want to throw it out to you guys. If you guys are out there and you're struggling, you've got someone maybe you just met or you want to ask out, or you've had someone you've been dating a long time and you want to know the do's and don'ts of Valentine's Day, Taryn's here for you. We'll probably try and help out as well. But at Walmart is not a good place to get a gift. And McDonald's is not a good place to take her to dinner. So maybe we can give you some advice. Keep it clean, but let's go. Let's see what we can do. We'll be back right after this with much more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Second hour of the three-hour extravaganza, the big show we call The Usual Suspects. Nick, Barry, Joel, special guest in studio, Taryn Hylos joining us, going to spend an extra segment with us because we thought our gift to you, our Valentine's Day present to you guys would be, if you need advice, if you need a little help, at least, hey, if you're okay being able to ask, we should be able to accommodate and help you out. So we brought a female perspective in. From someone that might be able to tell you the do's and don'ts of Valentine's Day, because I would say right off the top, we got some texts and some tweets. But if you were saying what would impress you as a female on Valentine's Day more, is it going to be how expensive is the dinner? Is it going to be obviously like where you go, what they're driving, or is it just, or are there certain things, do's and don'ts, and things that you look for in a situation
now
like
before you answer any of these questions? I'm going to preface this by saying I don't want the typical answer. I want the honest, like, no jewelry, and it's got to be big and nice. Like, I don't want you to be like, oh, you know, just the thought that counts. None of that crap. I want honesty.
Okay.
Because we need, as guys, we need to know
You've already taken a step back. You're like, oh, okay.
So yeah, I don't want you to fluff this. I want the truth.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Now, this is coming from somebody who's had, I've had good experiences and I've had bad experiences. I think the number one most important thing to take into consideration is how long you've been together.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something new or if it's you've been together for a while, because that, I mean, that makes a difference. But let's just say, like, okay, it's your first Valentine's Day to spend together. You've been together a couple months. You got to pay attention to what the girl likes, first of all. Like, if she's a sports person, and like make sure that you take her to a game she's gonna like, right?
Okay.
If she's into like yoga and stuff like that, like, you know, maybe get her some like yoga classes.
I thought you were going
to
say
go to yoga with her. That would be sweet.
You don't want to see dudes in Lululemon other than Raheel. You don't want to see us in yoga pants.
Buy her some Lululemon.
Okay.
You know, like, you got to pay attention to what she likes and get her something that you know she's going to like. Flowers are a given. I mean, I like chocolate. And then I think the most thoughtful.
Do you just look at it and throw it away? Because there's no way you're in shape and you eat chocolate.
Oh, I'm
there's...
eating the chocolate. I'm definitely eating the chocolate.
You look like you'd be hungry all the time. Don't give me that.
I was going to say.
Like, no one is, like, because you're fit. You obviously model the bikinis for your line and everything. There's no, like, you always look like you'd be hungry.
I'm not. I eat a lot. Well, I eat a lot. There's some times
good
where
for
I'll.
You, cause I do too, but look what that got me.
But you know what? It's just about, like, you got to, if I know I'm going to be doing a shoot, then I might be a little hungry.
Okay.
But for, like, you know, the day before. But.
Well, some chicks don't want flowers because they say they're going to die. So don't spend that money on the flowers because they're going to die. At least you're honest. You want the chocolates. You like the chocolates.
I had someone give me some flowers that, like, stay alive for, well, I don't know if they stay alive, but they last a year.
Okay.
What? That's a fake plant.
Those boxed flowers
that
are like, you know, they're all over Instagram.
Okay.
They're really pretty.
Okay.
And that's a big thing. People want Instagram worthy gifts.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like I want to, some girls, I do or don't. It just depends. It's nice when you get a gift that you can take a picture of and put it on Instagram. And it's like, haha, look what I got.
So it's showing off. Like, girls want stuff that, so sending flowers to your girl at work is big points, right? Because then it shows, look how much he loves me and none of you hoes got flowers, right?
Big points.
Okay,
big points.
Good. That's good to know.
Yeah, because, I mean, some females like anonymity to say, hey, true. I don't want my business out there.
True.
And then others are like, hey, I want to be, like Barry said, you know, I want to be able to show the world that I've got someone that cares a lot about me.
Yeah, I think for the one that's like anonymity, then maybe get her something really sexy from Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hey, like this is for both of us.
The gift that keeps on giving. Right. I got you.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get Seth. He's got a question for you. Seth, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Seth. What's your question?
I always wonder why all my relationships, they never last until Valentine's Day.
When do they start?
I've always said it's not a problem with me, but I just always have the question why it always happens.
She asked you, Seth, when does the relationship start that they always end?
I mean, it starts like whenever throughout the year.
Seth, are you weird looking?
It's like
Seth, are you weird looking? That might have something to do with it.
I think I'm pretty handsome.
Well, okay.
All right, appreciate the call, Seth.
Maybe it's because appreciate the call. Maybe it's because you're cocky. I don't know. Maybe
isn't it?
I'm sorry, like, that was just a random.
Isn't it basically how much you put into it is what you get out of it?
I mean, maybe it's the quality of people he's going for.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now you're thinking.
All right.
These shallow hoes. Can't be going for these shallow women.
Well, the other thing you don't want is you don't want someone that's going to try and go all out on Valentine's Day but doesn't show that same kind of affection during the rest of the year.
That's true. You might end up with someone who's like, oh, I'm all about, I want everyone to see that I give the good gifts for Valentine's Day, and that's like their game.
All right, so one of our listeners, Lenny, has a question for you from the Twitters. He says, I've been married for 30 years. My wife works until 9 p.m. What can I do to impress her when she walks in the door?
Ooh.
Be cooking naked. No, don't. That doesn't work when guys do it, right?
Depends.
Unless you're hot.
It depends.
If you look like me, you shouldn't be cooking naked, right?
No, I mean, look.
But Barry in a banana hammock could be underrated.
Well, that's true.
We could put you in one of my bikinis, like for guys.
I just got sick thinking about that.
Pull that thing out in certain areas, that could be a bigger problem.
Yeah. No, what could he do for his wife while she's working?
Okay, well, definitely like make sure the house is clean. Mm. That's a given.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
So she doesn't have to do anything when she gets home.
Make her dinner.
Have dinner ready for her. And definitely, I think, have some flowers for her and like a nice, like, go buy her something sweet and have it wrapped all pretty for her to unwrap when she
like
gets
what
home.
Though? You say go buy her something sweet. We're dumb. I'm asking this on behalf of him and the other guys. Because a woman, I think you could say, go buy something sweet, and she gets that. We are dumb creatures. So what do you mean go buy something sweet?
I mean, it so depends on the woman. But I mean, whether maybe it's like a pair of shoes or like a purse or a wallet or some jewelry or. You know, something Something
but
sweet.
But also something, like you said, make sure you put some effort into it.
Yeah, something you know she's going to like.
I guarantee you, when you said go buy something sweet, half of the guys listening thought chocolates or candy, and the other half thought you meant something sweet like, oh, that's so sweet that you would buy that for me. That's why I had to clarify. Mm-hmm. Now, as a guy, I know with my wife, I worry about, I could buy her a purse or shoes, but she's probably not going to like it because it's, you know, it's something that I would wear, not what she would wear.
Right.
Is that...
And it's different when it's y'all's money. Because she's like, why are you wasting our money on
okay.
this, right?
Yeah, okay, point, too. That is a good point.
So, I mean, you got to look at what your wife likes. What does she like that you kind of surprise her with? I bet you she gets you good gifts.
She does.
Because women, we're so thoughtful, right? Like, we think about these things.
Yeah. Like, if she buys me, I'm like, how did you... Oh, well, I heard you one time mention that in 1997. I'm like, what?
Yeah. And what? Lisa's the same way. She listens, and when you least expect it, all of a sudden, you know, the Amazon box shows up, and you're like, what's this? And she's like, I heard you say that you like that pair of shoes and this, that, and the other thing. And so... From a guy's perspective, they have to spend that same amount of time listening. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just let it go through your ears, but let it kind of resonate within you to figure out what can I do that she will realize I put some time and thought into.
Or like, I'm all about like self-care. So like, you know, get some nice skincare products or something like that. That goes a long way. Like go to the mall, get some nice like face scrubs and like bath stuff and stuff that she can pamper herself with that you know she's not going to buy herself, but she would like it as a gift.
Okay.
Daniel wants to get in here. He's got a call. Daniel, what do you got?
Hi, yeah. My question for the lady is, I've been married for about 5 years, and my wife says she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day, and we're kind of tight on money. You know, the bills are piling up. I have two young boys, and we don't have a babysitter or anything like that. So I was just wondering, you know, what would be a good gift to give her kind of, last minute, because I still haven't got her anything, and, you know, cause she told me she didn't want anything. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, would it be better to get her something, even though she told me that she doesn't want anything, you know, just because we're tight on money, or should I just, you know, stick to what she says, and, you know, not get her anything? Cause
got it, Daniel. Thanks for the call.
I think in a situation like that, you still get her some flowers. You know, you don't have to like spend a whole lot of money on the flowers. Just something like come home with something and then like get some coconut oil and give her a massage. Give her like an hour massage.
Oh, look at that.
That's a big time smart. One right there. I was going to say the other thing that is really underrated is you can buy anywhere a notebook, like a little notebook or something like that, and just do like a list of IOUs and say, I owe you washing your car, or I owe you something where she doesn't have to do making the bed or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Would that be a good gift?
I think so. I mean, really? I would like that. If you just pair it with a little something that's like, hey, I did think of you today and I got you this, like a little something, like even if it's a single rose. And like, hey, here's the IOU journal.
I tried that. But see, I asked because I tried that one year. I got my wife a coupon book, but it was all it was like a Gold C coupon book. And she was like, I don't want this coupon book.
What is that?
Like, it's just coupons. Like, you can get like 2-for-1 hot dogs at Sonic. And she was like, so that's the wrong kind of coupons.
Yes. No.
Well, okay. The next year, I just made a book with it. It was like one free sex with me anytime.
Maybe like you could get her a pair of boxing gloves so she can
hit you without hurting you as much.
So it doesn't leave visible scars. I appreciate it. And by the way, when you call next time, put some respect on her name. It's Taryn. Don't be
the lady.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Tell everybody how to find you on the webs.
You can find me on the Twitter at Taryn Hilo. Same thing with Instagram and Facebook.
Spell it for them because they'll never, I promise you, they'll spell it wrong.
A lot of people, yeah.
Phonetically incorrect. TERANNHILOW.
There you go.
There you go. Taryn Hilo, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys.
We'll be back with the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.